I was to ask a question about your preferences, I wonder what it might be. Football or rugby? Right. Yeah, well, my first encounter, and I'm a football man, coming from Hillsborough. Oops. My first encounter with a live football match, that's arguable at Plymouth actually, was at the age of 11 when I went to watch Plymouth Argyle with a friend from secondary school. He was absolutely obsessed about football, and so he took me along, and it wasn't long before I became a fairly ardent fan and fairly obsessed myself. And scarf, hats, the lot, really. And of course, as time went on and as the years went on, my parents used to be a bit worried because obviously my schooling was taking a bit of a hit on that front, and so were the teachers, and so they told me I had to back off a bit. So I did for a while. I don't worry about it so much now. I'm a bit better now. They did lose yesterday, by the way. And I'm not too upset, but anyway. My first encounter with football, and it's kind of carried on really in different ways. It was a bit of an obsession, not a healthy one, probably. In life, we have all kinds of encounters. Every single day of our lives, and these are important encounters. And sometimes such encounters lead to a fleeting interest in whatever that might be. And sometimes it leads to some form of commitment, whether it's a relationship or something to do with football or whatever it is. And intriguingly, in the reading that we heard from the Gospel, Gospel means good news, by the way, and Rob was reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And the good news there, and part of what Jesus was saying, was that that actually he picks up on the scene. If anyone would come after me, they must take up their cross and they must follow me. And what it seems to suggest here that there must be an encounter before there comes a decision to follow this person, Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't around for many years, certainly not in terms of ministry, just 33 years of his life and 3 years of ministry. But he met with thousands of people who had an encounter with him. They met with him. They were impressed by what they saw. Some actually took it on board and they wanted to follow him. Some rejected him because they didn't like what he had to say. And some were okay for a while and they just dropped it. They just seemed to drop him. We don't know anything more about their commitment towards him. But Jesus says quite clearly, if anyone would come after me, they must take up their cross and they must follow me. So there needs to be an encounter before there needs to be a decision, whatever that decision might be. And most certainly this is true in our faith in God, and certainly in terms of our faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible is full of stories about people who had this encounter with Jesus. So the reading before the Gospel was from Romans, and it was written by a man called Paul, who became a follower of Jesus. In fact, he became an apostle, someone who was sent out by Jesus to proclaim the good news. His encounter was so powerful that he went from being someone who actually persecuted those who followed Jesus to one who wanted to be a follower of Jesus. Complete and utter turnaround. You've heard perhaps the phrase, the Damascus Road experience, a complete turning around. It made a change to his life. And so Paul went on to be a follower of Jesus, dedicated his life to Jesus, taught about Jesus. And he went all around the known world then, and he preached the gospel in lots and lots of places, telling people about Jesus. And there were others too. There were others too. And it was often very, very costly. And the reason for that is because Jesus said, anyone who follows me must take up their cross and follow me. And we can't pick up the cross of Christ. That's happened once for all. But in our lives, we have a cross to bear. There are things that are quite a challenge in our lives. And we very much need the help of someone or something in our lives to get us through on occasions. very interesting. I was reading just the other day about the international singer and stage performer Lady Gaga, and apparently she had broken down in tears because even and in spite of her immense fame and immense fortune, she was essentially a very lonely person. And she remembered that years ago, someone who had taught her up and led her to a faith, some kind of faith in God, had warned her about this. This could happen. You need to be careful. You need to have our eyes focused on something. Something that's not just about ourselves, but outside of ourselves. And then her thoughts took her back to what her teacher once said. Today is also a time of encounter with God. It's an encounter with God. We're all here for Claudia to celebrate her baptism into the family of God in this place. And God loves and blesses those who love their children enough to do the right thing. And Claudia's family want the best for her, and that includes for them, in this sense, the desire to be part of the family of God. And there are a number of things that happen within the ceremony of baptism which are important in this context. One is, of course, the washing with water. We already had a bit of washing in terms of Japan, haven't we? But this is a different kind of washing. It's an internal washing. It's a cleansing. It's an association with something that initially is outside of ourselves, but who, with God's help and prayers and the Holy Spirit, will become a part of who we are. For this, because Claudia's 6 months. She's going to need the help and the encouragement of her parents and godparents. It's going to be their faith that's going to take her to that point where she too will have an encounter with God. She's having one today. God is present. I believe he's here right now as we gather together in this place as the church family. But there will need to be other encounters for Claudia. And parents and godparents are taking on that role and that responsibility to lead her to that place of decision for herself, whether that's for or not. But of course, God goes on encountering, and she will encounter God all the way through her life in different ways. And hopefully and prayerfully, she'll come to that place where the faith that her parents are placing God will become perfect. And we all need this kind of encounter with God. We may not see it at the time. Certainly I remember as a teenager and being one of 12 myself in those days. I was an apprentice actually in Devonport, Duckhill in Plymouth, learning to be an engineer. And God could have been further from my thoughts. And as it happened during my early years, I didn't go to church at all. I think I went to Sunday school a few times. There's something that they call evensong in the Church of England. Does anyone know about evensong? Sorry about it. Yes. It's a very kind of, it's the Book of Common Prayer written in 1662, still spoken in that language, and some people still love it. It's a beautiful language, but it didn't mean anything to me. And that's because my encounter with God was not complete. I did not know who he was. But there came a point at which, different times in my life, where things happen that cause me to think about my life and the world in which I live and how I fitted into what was going on within my life. So one of the 12 people who was an apprentice with me as a fitter and turner sadly had a motorcycle accident and lost his life. And that made me think, he was only 16, kind of go, oh, what's going on here type thing. It was one of those moments in your life when you begin to think about things. And gradually, I was drawn to that place where I began to attend church. A friend invited me to go to church. This was another friend, not the same one that went to Oregon. And he said, good youth club there, lots of young ladies there. Nothing to do particularly with meeting with God for me at that point, but it seemed to be a good place to start. And eventually, I met with people who had a clear understanding of who God was, and they clearly had a faith in Jesus Christ, not as a person from 2,000 years ago, but a person who was alive to them. He was alive to them. And part of today is recognizing that God is alive to us. He's not an historical figure in Jesus. He's actually alive to us today and can be, if that's what we want. So today is an encounter. Some of us will be on the journey for lots and lots of years. Some of us will have been on the journey and perhaps let it go a wee bit. God still loves you. And some of us haven't begun. God still loves you. That's why he sent his son into this world, to follow him. But he says this, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would come after me, this is what you need to think about. So there needs to be encounter and decision. The decision to follow is optional. God never forces us into his kingdom, but he does give us opportunities each and every day. The sacrifice, as I suggested, is to do with carrying the cross of our lives, the challenges we face. But as we sang in that song, I just said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He promises to be with us and to strengthen us through life's challenges and the major decisions that we have to make. He promises to be with us. That's his promise. And he will not forget that promise. So today, as we join together in this celebration with Claudia and family, think about the words that we're going to be saying together. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer at some point, some huge statements within there. Think about the support that we as a church family, that's those who regularly worship here, and parents and godparents are going to say. Think about what they're going to say on behalf of Claudia and how they're going to support her in her journey towards God. And then let's think about how we're going to, all of us, after the day, think about this God who I'm saying is real, alive and present. Just go in and think about it and see if it's something that resonates with you today.